Greetings once again, America. My name is Doug McBurney, and you may have heard the news. Stand by now for the Worldview. And the music is rolling, my blood is pumping, and I want to welcome you back to the show where we don't take ourselves all that seriously, and we do focus on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. Oh yes, and we don't tolerate commercial interruptions either. I'm a little off today, folks. I'm on the cusp of a cold, I think, possibly. I'm at that phase where you get the really cool, raspy radio voice going, but I don't yet have the nasal congestion, inflammation, and all of that yet. And I'm dosing up on the vitamin C, hoping to avoid falling into the clutches of the virus. But I will do my best to bring you all the important stuff this week. I had all my stories ready to go, ladies and gentlemen, as I often am quite prepared to do the broadcast, but I was bumping around on the internet as I was awaiting the entrance of my extremely attractive audio engineer. And I bumped across this story from the Telegraph in London. A man who is believed to be in his 30s was able to carry a child after taking female hormones to reverse the effects of his female-to-male sex change operation. Are you confused? I'm confused already. The Daily Telegraph understands that the man, whose identity has not been disclosed, is in a long-term relationship. It's not clear whether his partner is male or female. I'm not even sure if this person is male or female or what. I'm only two paragraphs into this article. This man apparently legally changed his gender to male. So this person was born a girl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. Born a girl, had the operation, became a, quote, male, unquote. Then was able to give birth last year because his womb was not removed. I can't go any further. His womb? My head's going to explode. I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, things are getting stranger and stranger by the moment. Let me close this out because I don't want to be distracted by this article. But let's go to politics, folks. Fun open tonight on the politics file. This was from last Monday, as reported on ABC News. Last Monday, Dateline Centennial Colorado, employing some of his most conservative rhetoric to date, Mitt Romney referred to morning after pills as abortive pills during a speech at a rally in Colorado where he told the crowd about the importance of electing a president who will protect the right to worship God, after which the crowds took Mitt's advice and voted for Rick Santorum. A stunning upset defeat here in Colorado for Mitt Romney.
Yeah, I was wrong.
It was a lot of fun. What's that?
I was wrong.
You were wrong?
Yeah.
About what?
No, I thought that Santorum didn't look like
him. Oh, that's right. You thought the whole sweater vest did him in as far as the presidential look? But Rick's looking more and more presidential, right? He's looking more and more presidential in Mitt Romney's campaign. Well, let's keep following the Romney campaign here on the Weekly Worldview as we delve into the news of the week. We've got a story from the Washington Times. This is from February 11th. What's today? By golly, this is from yesterday. According to the Washington Times, Mitt Romney won the Washington Times CPAC presidential straw poll on Saturday. The poll suggests Mr. Romney retains strong support among self-identified conservatives. That as opposed to actual conservatives. These are the self-identified conservatives over at CPAC. You know, the self-identified conservatives wedged in between members of GOPAC and the log cabin Republicans there in the halls at CPAC. The picture of the week was from CPAC. I mean, did you see that picture of Ann Coulter on Drudge? Her Adam's apple appeared to be the size of a pork loin. It was really disturbing. I mean, we were all wondering, we wondered, you know, when we'd see Ann. after Romney's stunning upset defeat here in Colorado. And we should have guessed that it would be addressing the rhinos and the homos at the CPAC convention. Yeah. So there. So Ann Coulter has emerged from whatever pit she was in to hype Mitt Romney's campaign and his so-called support amongst self-identified conservatives. You know, Mitt, it was nice knowing you, and we'll see you later. Oh, he also won a straw poll in Maine. Was it a straw poll or a primary? I don't know. So Mitt Romney appears to be rolling once again. And Matt Drudge got me so upset. Matt Drudge is so in the pocket of Mitt Romney. I really don't understand it. A lot of people think Matt's a conservative. I'm beginning to have my doubts. But we will continue here because there's a lot of other important news outside of the world of politics and Ann Coulter's Adam's apple bobbing up and down for Romney again. Let's go to the Catholic bishops controversy, ladies and gentlemen. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Catholic bishops said on Friday night that they would not support the Obama administration's proposed compromise on a controversial rule that requires most employers to fully cover contraception in their workers' health plans. Now, the Wall Street Journal says it's contraception, but it's also about abortifacient chemicals that the government is ordering people of faith, let's say, to provide to their workers. This conference, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, issued a statement saying that they didn't believe their concerns have been addressed by President Barack Obama. Under the new policy, religious employers that don't want to offer contraception could exclude it from their policies. Insurance companies instead would be required to provide access to contraception for planned participants who wanted it without explicitly charging either the religious employer or the worker. Man, that's a pretty tortured, convoluted compromise, if you ask me. And I put compromise in quotation marks. But folks, let's get the truth out there on the table. The church has allowed the killing of babies for 40 years now, unabated. Why should Barry Ho and the child-killing advocates expect any serious resistance now? I mean, isn't it really just a matter of degree now, Mr. Catholic Bishop? It's just you've allowed this to happen. The church is the ones that have allowed it. You know, Barry Ho's got to be surprised that you guys are piping up with all your self-righteous indignation now, seeing as you've allowed them to ride roughshod over the Christian faith, for my entire life, frankly. Anyway, this is the same U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops who is afraid to define when life begins and who is afraid to demand that the government protect the inalienable God-given right to life of every human person. This is that same conference of Catholic bishops who find it politically useful to speak up now, but have basically laid down for two generations and are just going to get rolled over again because they're pathetic. They're pathetic. We have the solution, American Conference of Catholic Bishops. It's called personhood. Get on board or just shut up and get out of the way. All right. Yeah, I know. I'm supposed to be friendly toward the Catholic bishops because I'm a conservative. And I do believe, let me give you my opinion about the political battle, ladies and gentlemen, regarding RU 486, which is the abortion pill. And Barry Ho. It appears to me that Barry Ho wants a fight. Now, let me be clear that I'm talking about a political fight. Barry Ho wants a political fight. And he wants it on this issue. And in my experience, the best strategy with someone who wants a fight is to hit him first and to hit him hard. Now, we're talking in a political sense here. Because I don't know if I would want to go straight up against Barry Ho. He looks like he's in pretty good shape. And his knuckles are really sharp, it looks like. Oh, Michelle, for sure. I would flee the room. I wouldn't want to have a physical confrontation with her. Pin you against the wall with those hips. You never know what. You might never get out of there. No, I said hips. Anyway, Barry wants a fight, so we need to hit him first and hit him harder politically. And I believe the best strategy would be for the House of Representatives to draw up impeachment, an impeachment document against Kathleen Sebelius, and threaten Mr. Obama and tell him, if you don't fire Kathleen Sebelius and reverse this ruling, we're coming after you, Mr. Ho. That's right, impeachment. That would take the fight that Mr. Ho might actually want to be happening on the streets. That would take the fight, the potential for that fight to go into the streets and keep it firmly in the political realm. But will our Congress have the nerve to hit Barry first and hit him hard? No, they won't. The leftists and the child-killing industry have been shucking and jiving the Christians on this issue for 40 years. A shell game, acting like money that goes to child-killing organizations is not used to kill children. Meanwhile, we all pay for abortions with our tax dollars. And this is going to be yet another stunning defeat of the of the right by the left. And it's just depressing to watch, ladies and gentlemen. I just want to say to the Conference of Catholic Bishops that the government will stop seizing your religious liberty when you stand up and demand that they do right on the very first, the very first right, the right to life. And you have fallen down on that in a pathetic fashion, and you've gotten what you deserved. You're almost meaningless. You're almost completely irrelevant, and it's sad to watch. All right. Now, a friend of mine last week, who I haven't had a chance to see in a while, we were talking politics and global geopolitical issues, and he asked me what I thought about Israel, what was going to happen over there. And, well, this next story, had I had it on me, this would have been my answer. Here's how things are going for Israel. This is from Haaretz newspaper there. In a newly launched Facebook page, Israeli fans of Madonna are asking Benjamin Netanyahu to hold off on any plans to strike Iran until after Madonna's Tel Aviv concert on May 29th. So that's the main concern of a large segment of the Israeli community. Is it national security? No, it's making sure they can go watch Madonna before they're all incinerated by nuclear bombs from Iran. Anyway, I don't hold out much hope that the current iteration of the Hebrew people will last as a governing force for very much longer. And I say that with a heavy heart, but I'm sorry, it appears to be true. How could they even let Madonna into Israel? Isn't that blasphemy? I mean, wouldn't the guy who stamped his passport should be afraid of hellfire, for crying out loud, letting that slut into the Holy Land? Unbelievable. All right. Speaking of sluts, let's go to Jeffrey Toobin, who is basically a media prostitute for the left. And he writes on the CNN blog, or he wrote this past week, to let us know what the ruling from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals there in California means, the ruling regarding California's Proposition 8. I'm sure you all heard about it as a big story. The court basically issued an opinion stating that Proposition 8, which restricted marriage between one man and one woman, that Proposition 8 was unconstitutional. They issued that opinion. Why we listen to opinions like that, I cannot comprehend. I can't imagine why. But here's what Jeffrey Toobin says. He says, the question was asked, what did the court decide? And Toobin says, Prop 8, the initiative passed by voters in 08, is unconstitutional, is what the court ruled. A violation of the rights of gay and lesbian people who want to get married. Toobin goes on and he says, approximately one-fifth of the population of the United States will soon live in states with same-sex marriage. That's an enormous change from zero states just a decade ago. By the standards of a civil rights battle, that's extremely fast change, says Jeffrey Toobin. I can't disagree with Mr. Toobin on that. It's pretty amazing that we've gone from zero to one-fifth of the country in just a decade. Wow. I mean, the homos are pouring out of the closet, for crying out loud. You got to scrape them off with a snow shovel. They're pouring out so fast. And as homosexuality pours out of the closet, they, by their very nature, force Christianity into the closet. But we don't want to go into the closet, Mr. Tubin. Oh, yeah, here's Mr. Tubin's closing thought. There are 39 million people in California. That's a lot of people to have same-sex marriage, says Jeff. So Tubin assumes that they'll all participate naturally. You know, he's probably packing a bag for San Francisco right now. No, I meant to attend a homo wedding. I mean, you didn't think Jeff would go out there and get married, do you? I think I've seen him wearing a wedding ring on CNN. But then again, what does that mean anymore? Jeffrey Tubin. Wow. Proof that almost anyone can get a career in television if you'll just toe the line on the left. Just embarrassing. All right. On the homosexual marriage front, we do have an important update. From NBC in San Francisco, even as the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals found California's ban on gay marriage unconstitutional last Tuesday, one of the state's first gay couples to get married is getting divorced. That's right. Robin Tyler filed for divorce from Diane Olson on January 25th. This pair, I prefer to call them a pair, too, rather than a couple. This pair were among the 14 homosexual couples who originally challenged Proposition 8 back in 2008. And we've got quotes from the wives. Would they both be wives?
I don't know.
Do you call them both wives? Do you ask about her wife? Or, again, it gets very confusing. But we've got some quotes from Tyler. What's her name here? Robin Tyler. She says, "Hey, regarding the divorce, look, we're human. You know, we went through some difficult times." That's actual audio. According to the article, they were the poster couple for gay and lesbian rights. They had gone to the Beverly Hills courthouse every year for 7 years to apply for and be denied a marriage license. They had their marriage ceremony on the steps of the very same courthouse and called it a monumental moment for gay couples everywhere. What do they say today in an interview regarding their divorce? We've got more tape.
"Hey, listen, I don't know how to describe it. I wanted this all my life. Every time I went to a girlfriend's wedding and when my brother got married, it was something I always wanted for myself. And you know, it looks like God must have wanted it for me, too. Or at least, you know, back then. You know, for a bunch of people to tell me who I can love and who I can marry and who I can say, you know, this is my person. This is who I choose to spend the rest of my life with. It's mind-boggling to me that a few religious people can vote for our equal rights. Marriage is so important. It's the most important relationship that you can have as an adult," she said.
She?
Yeah, they're both girls. You couldn't tell? Now, here's what the reporter says at the end of the article. This is an NBC reporter from NBC in San Francisco. The reporter says, "But even the best of marriages can come to an end." And that's just a misunderstanding of what the best of marriages is. I mean, the best of marriages, by definition, would not come to an end. But this is a reporter from NBC in San Francisco. And his or her definition and understanding of marriage, just like everything else in our culture, has obviously become confused. Thank you. That's the Georgia Satellites, ladies and gentlemen. A group of men certainly not confused about the role of men and women in modern society, or at least society back then in the 1980s when they were last heard from.
Hey.
Currently residing in the Where Are They Now file. The best description of an 80s band ever was the description, I believe it was in Rolling Stone magazine, of the Georgia Satellites. It was one line: "White trash on beer." That's. But hey, at least they weren't no queers. All right. And they were a lot of fun. Anyway, very confusing, ladies and gentlemen. That's the state of homosexual marriage as we go to press today. But let's go to Daytona Beach from the Domestic Tranquility File for an update on the state of normal marriage. This is from the Associated Press, Daytona Beach, Florida. Authorities found the bodies of 28-year-old Jason Pemberton and his 25-year-old wife, Tiffany, on Sunday after a neighbor called police about a dog on the couple's balcony. Police say the murder-suicide likely occurred on Saturday. So that's all I got from the world of heterosexual marriage, normal marriage. Marriage in general, collapsing across the board. Ladies and gentlemen, now I want to read you an article from Thursday afternoon. It appeared in the Hollywood Reporter on Thursday afternoon. From the Hollywood Reporter, Whitney Houston could be staging another career comeback with a coveted seat next to Simon Cowell on the X Factor judges panel. Yes. Oh. Yeah, the Hollywood Reporter said that Whitney was in talks with the X Factor television show about being on the judging panel. Houston was spotted at a pre-Grammy party on Thursday, hosted by singer Kelly Price at True Hollywood. The 48-year-old diva also is expected to appear at Clive Davis's pre-Grammy party on Saturday. Whitney didn't make that party. And it reminds me of a Bible verse. Yes, that's right. It reminds me of a Bible verse. Warning, 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 Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at the Weekly Worldview that you would like to censor anyone who would ever even think about the possibility of considering quoting a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice that raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. And we go to the book of Matthew in the 24th chapter, where Jesus himself says this. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. You see, Whitney was eating and drinking and being merry, getting ready for the Grammys. Is it the Grammys or is it the Emmys or the Oscars? I get confused on all of those. I think it's the Emmys. No, the Grammys. Yes, gramophone. Yes, the Grammy Awards. Whitney was getting ready for the Grammy Awards, eating and drinking, and just going on about her life. And she was suddenly taken away. And my advice to everyone out there who was touched by the sudden and tragic death of Whitney Houston, who, by the way, Whitney Houston was raised in a Southern Black Christian church, and she started her musical career as an amateur, singing in the church choir, before her career was prostituted out to Hollywood, the homosexuals, the liberals, and the leftists. And she was utterly corrupted. But my advice to anyone who's been touched by this is just be prepared, because the flood could come any time and sweep you away, break the surly bonds of earth, cross over to the other side. Just be prepared. Know that there is a God. Know that you are not him. Find out who he is and what he wants, because you're going to meet him, just like Whitney did. Instead of going up on stage at the Grammys, Whitney was on a much larger stage as she faced her Creator on Judgment Day. And we can only hope that the religious upbringing she had as a child stuck with her through all that Whitney went through. And I guess that's all I've got to say about that. It is really sad, though. Really sad. And I really mean that. All right. Now, let's go from a tragic Hollywood death to the personhood front of the pro-life movement. It's the only active front in the war, by the way, as far as I'm concerned. This comes to us from Oklahoma, from the politicallivejournal.com there in Oklahoma City. The report is that a pro-choice Democratic legislator has taken a novel approach to fighting an Oklahoma personhood bill. That's right, personhood has been introduced in the Oklahoma legislature. Well, according to the blog Jezebel, I said Jezebel, yeah, State Senator Constance Johnson of Oklahoma City has introduced an amendment to the Oklahoma personhood bill. Now, the good folks at the Political Live Journal there in Oklahoma City are good enough to insert this paragraph, which I will articulate here, and we'll take a closer look at it. They say, the concept of personhood defines human life as beginning at the moment of conception. And in the case of Oklahoma's pending State Bill 1433, says that the resulting fetus, quote, at every stage of development, has all the rights, privileges, and immunities available to other persons, citizens, and residents of this state, unquote. And then the reporter goes on, if Senate Bill 1433 were to become law, all forms of abortion and some forms of contraception would be considered murder and therefore illegal. So the only problem there, Mr. Reporter, I'm sure you got your journalism degree like so many of your peers out of a box of Cracker Jacks, is that there are no forms of contraception that would be affected by the personhood law unless that form of contraception is actually a form of chemical abortion, an abortifacient chemical that does not prevent pregnancy but prevents the survival of an already living, growing human person. All right. But we'll let that slide because, well, we won't let it slide. I just commented on it. But we won't be surprised that the reporter does not have a firm grasp on basic fundamental biology and science that can be understood by a 7-year-old. But I think most reporters read and think and process information at about a 6th grade level. All right. Anyway, so this bill is on its way through the Oklahoma legislature. So this Democratic state senator, Constance Johnson, has introduced an amendment to the bill mandating that the same rights and benefits be granted to spermatozoa. Spermatozoa? Sperm. She wants to grant personhood to sperm. Yeah. Now, I can't really read the verbiage of her amendment because it's pornographic. I can't really read the text because it's, I just can't do it. She later withdrew the measure, but she stated that she had inserted it to highlight the absurdity and sexism inherent in the personhood bill. Well, Constance, all you really highlighted was your own ignorance and your sexual deviancy, because the wording here is just disgusting. She's obviously some kind of cretin pervert herself. Now, a second legislator, attempted to introduce an amendment stating that all men would be responsible for the full support and well-being of any woman carrying their child for the duration of the pregnancy, including housing, food, transportation, and all medical costs. Now, that amendment failed, but isn't that the way it already is? it's a shame that an amendment like this even needs to be offered, because I thought it was understood that if a woman is carrying your child, then you're responsible for her housing, her food, her transportation, and all of her medical costs. Have I let you down on any one of those while you were pregnant? Maybe sometimes the transportation. I'll admit that.
No,
you don't. No, I got you where you needed to go, right? I made sure that you had a house to live in and food. And I even paid your medical bills.
Yeah.
Well, we worked together on that, but... Anyway, isn't it understood? Maybe we don't know that anymore, guys. Maybe we need to sit down and have a Being a Human 101 class. Yeah, if a woman's carrying your child, you should feel a natural obligation to take care of her. But in Oklahoma, they have to introduce dueling ridiculous amendments when a bill comes up that forces people who have made a career of avoiding the truth face the truth. They don't know what to do, so they act in a ridiculous manner, and they talk about granting rights to sperm and passing bills to make men responsible. Anyway, the good news, ladies and gentlemen, is that the concept of personhood continues to grow in recognition, and social tension is rising, ladies and gentlemen. It's like a pressure cooker, and we're not going to stop until the lid blows off. In a political, social, cultural sense. I'm not for violence in the streets. I hope everyone understands that. All right. Speaking of violence in the streets, let's go to the justice file. This is a disturbing tale. Anders Behring Breivik. Does everyone remember Anders Behring Breivik? He's the right-wing extremist. That's what the article calls him. I hate this. By the way, this is from AP News. They call Anders Behring Breivik a right-wing extremist who has admitted killing 77 people in the worst peacetime massacre that Norway has ever seen. You remember now, right? It all comes back. Well, he was led into an Oslo district court where he was filmed smirking. Smirking, yes. He read from some prepared remarks, and he told the court that the July 22nd massacre was a strike against traitors that he said are embracing immigration to promote an Islamic colonization of Norway. Breivik admitted to setting off bombs, and he admitted to opening fire and killing all those people at the Labour Party youth camp on Utøya Island. But he denied criminal responsibility and rejected the authority of the court. Breivik, according to the AP News article, Breivik faces terror charges, which carry up to 21 years in prison. However, if he's deemed gravely mentally ill, he will be sent to psychiatric care. So this is what happens, ladies and gentlemen, when you allow a man who should not live, not only to live, but to make fun of the justice system that is attempting to punish him because they have no idea what to do with him. He might get 21 years, he might end up in a mental hospital, but either way, folks, he's just smirking. Solo, my pipes needed a little rest there. So we play that song, by the way, for Mr. Breivik. Should I even call him Mr. Breivik? He obviously doesn't qualify as a human being. We play that song for Anders Behring Breivik and for the government and justice system in Norway who are paving the highway for Mr. Breivik. Yeah. The odds that he will ever repent for what he has done grow slimmer every day that he is allowed to live. He should be locked in a room with a candle and a Bible and told you're going to meet Jesus in 3 days. Let a preacher visit him 20 minutes before he's executed and then get it over with. Dispatch him. Get in line behind Whitney Houston. He should be in line. In fact, he should have been in line in front of Whitney Houston. But unfortunately, he's not, as the state of justice around the world deteriorates to the point where criminals do not take it seriously. And when criminals do not respect and fear the justice system, ladies and gentlemen, well, that leads to one thing, an epidemic of violence and criminality and an overtly lawless society. But what are we to expect? These are all the Western powers have tolerated the murder of innocent people now for a generation or more. And so why would Mr. Breivik take any of this all that seriously? He would just smirk. All right. I want to go to the politics file back here in the United States of America. This is from The Hill, which is some sort of newspaper and or magazine slash website that focuses on Capitol Hill. Jeremy Herb and Daniel Strauss report from The Hill. A group of Republican lawmakers is protesting the removal of a reference to God on the patch of an Air Force unit. That's right. Shock, stunned disbelief. Stand up and cheer the Republicans as they return the name of God to the Air Force unit patch. Brave Republicans, making the hard choices, working for you and I, ladies and gentlemen. Now, according to The Hill, the patch logo was changed after a military atheist group, the Military Association of Atheists and Freethinkers, protested the reference to God on the patch. Now, the patch has a saying on it in Latin, and roughly translated, it said, the patch said in the past, quote, doing God's work with other people's money, unquote. Now, just on the face of it, ladies and gentlemen, if I were in the military, the last unit I would want to be a part of is a unit with a motto like that. Doing God's work with other people's money? What kind of unit was this, for crying out loud? Can I find out what... What kind of unit is this? I'm not going to be able to figure it out. Well, it sounds like there's some kind of in the rear with the gear type unit. Oh, it was the RCO, the Rapid Capabilities Office. Yeah. The RCO is an office created in 2003 that expedites weapons systems and reports to a board of directors that includes the Air Force Secretary and Chiefs of Staff. So it's a bunch of paper pushers, pencil pushers, which they got lots of them in the Air Force. All of you young men who want to join the military but you don't want to ever hear a shot fired in anger or go into combat, join the Air Force. There's a good chance that you'll be on a golf course most of the time or doing things like this. Anyway, I have the utmost respect for the Air Force, by the way, and they are involved in combat regularly. Heroic acts of combat, by the way. I'm just pointing out that the odds are, you know. If you don't want to get shot at, join the Air Force. All right. Now, this patch and the ensuing hullabaloo there on the Hill, doing God's work with other people's money, well, it sounds pretty stupid. And I'm sure God would rather not be referenced on that patch. Doing God's work with other people's money? I'm sure he'd rather not participate. House Republicans, according to the Hill, also passed a bill. Oh, no. I'm sorry, let me go back here. One of the sponsors, one of the outraged Republicans, introduced a bill to reaffirm "In God We Trust" as the country's motto. Another hollow act by a hollow man in the Republican Party. So he wants to reaffirm "In God We Trust" while he participates in a system that negates that very concept every single day. His name is Forbes. I don't know what his first name is. Representative Randy Forbes, a Republican from Virginia. House Republicans also passed a bill last month that allows for religious symbols to be displayed at military memorials. Yeah. But meanwhile, these same gung-ho Republican officials who love God so much that they want to make sure he's on patches and he's in our motto, and that he's a part of war memorials. These same governing officials presided over the administration of the murder of about 1 million innocent Americans, about $1 trillion stolen, 1 million perjurers winked at in the courthouses, and 1 million or more marriages destroyed, wrecked by adultery. As they honor him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him, ladies and gentlemen. Don't be bamboozled by Republicans standing up with the red, white, and blue and a Bible under one arm saying how much they love God when they shy away from the issues that would differentiate them from the rabid leftist liberals who have taken over the country and are driving it to hell at breakneck speed. While the Republicans focus on war memorials and patches for the Air Force. Pretty embarrassing. All right. More from the Justice File. This should be the Injustice File, but get a load of this. This is a story about red light cameras. As you can well imagine, I've got a problem with that, of course. Just on a personal level, having been victimized. This is from San Francisco Chronicle. One red light camera in Oakland generates more than $3 million a year. Yeah, into the coffers of the local government there. And a Fremont, California man is launching a protest group to do something about it. Roger Jones is facing quite an uphill fight against officials hungry for the cash that the cameras sweep in. See, according to the San Francisco Chronicle, anyone in California violating a red light pays a fine of $480. And the State Department of Finance has estimated that red light cameras bring in more than $80 million annually to the state and another $50 million to cities and counties. So it's all a racket. Justice has become a racket. And so we all know it. And it's very sad and unfortunate, ladies and gentlemen, because it causes all of us to have less respect and reverence for the justice system. I mean, I missed a court date the other day, and now I'm in deep trouble. Yes, it was another speeding ticket, which I've decided, folks, I'm swearing off speeding. I'm just going to stop. Which,
oh, okay.
You're not buying that? Anyway, I'm going to stop speeding, which I assert makes me less free. I am not free. I am not free to operate my vehicle in a safe manner at the speed I deem appropriate because I just can't afford it anymore. Anyway, I got in front of the judge and I said, Judge, the district attorney doesn't want to let me go to trial. He wants a summary judgment against me for $500. I said, I can't afford it, Judge. And I said, look at my record. He said, I'm looking at your record. You've had 5 tickets in the last 2 years. And I said, well, there you have it, Judge. Obviously, I've got a lot of experience with this type of thing, and I've always showed up in court on time, and I've always paid my fine in full. This was a simple miscalculation. I put it in the wrong month of my calendar, Your Honor. I even called him Your Honor because I was doing a little bit of groveling. Anyway, he dismissed the summary judgment against me and has allowed me now to go to trial, where my only hope is that the cop doesn't show up. That's my only hope, because I'm guilty. And then I'm going to throw myself on the mercy of the court and say, look, I'm broke. You know what? I've got a plan. I'm going to bring my children in, and I'm going to make sure that they have dirt on their faces, and I'm going to get them in some really tattered clothing.
Gypsy.
Yeah, so they look like some street urchins. And I'm going to bring them into court, and I'm going to wear my beat-up jeans and a dirty shirt. And I'm just going to tell the judge how I've been looking for work, Judge, and I don't have the money. Please, please, for the sake of my children. You know, I'll have each one of them sucking on a rock, and I'll tell them that's all we can afford to give them. All they get is a stone.
They don't like children?
Say again?
Do you understand they don't like children?
Well, yeah, they don't like children. It could backfire on me, but I'm in a pretty hopeless situation, what being guilty and all. But anyway, I say all this, ladies and gentlemen, just to highlight the fact that justice has become, well, let's just say it's become less than a serious matter for most people, even to killers, for crying out loud. I mean, I'm just a speeder. But even killers don't take it seriously. I remember my first experience in court was I was living out in California, and I got busted, and my license was suspended. So I had to hand my license to the judge, and he took it away from me. And he levied a fine against me and told me I had to take this class and that I wasn't going to be driving in the state of California for at least a year, so I'd better get with the program. And I walked out of the courthouse, got in my car, and drove home. Put those guitars away. We've got to get back to the show. We're rounding third and headed for home. We're almost out of time. And I've got a lot of news from the politics file, and international relations. From the Associated Press, from Washington, D.C., Barry Ho says the U.S. has, quote, a very good estimate of when Iran could complete work on a nuclear weapon, unquote. But he cautioned that there are still many unanswered questions about Tehran's inner workings. Barry was quoted as saying, "Do we know all of the dynamics inside of Iran? Absolutely not. Iran itself is a lot more divided now than it was. Knowing who is making decisions at any given time inside of Iran is tough," unquote. That's the President of the United States, the leader of the free world, basically saying he doesn't know what's going on. Obama said that while he believes the standoff with Iran over its nuclear program can still be resolved through diplomacy, the U.S. has done extensive planning on a range of options, a whole range. The president says a negotiated solution on Syria is possible and defended his administration's handling of the violence there, saying the United States has been relentless in demanding that Assad leave power. As for the danger of retaliation by Iran against the United States, Obama said, quote, "We don't see any evidence that they have those intentions or capabilities right now." Right now. He doesn't think they have those capabilities right now. And I guess as soon as Tel Aviv is incinerated in a nuclear blast, Barry Ho will have a press conference where he'll admit that there is some evidence that Iran has intentions and capabilities to strike. We'll have to wait and see what happens on that front. John Bolton has an opinion, at least on what we're doing in Afghanistan. Former UN ambassador John Bolton, according to WorldNet Daily, said, quote, this is regarding the pullout of troops in Afghanistan. Bolton says, quote, "I think the announcement that the U.S. hopes to end combat operations in Afghanistan by 2013 is all but running up the white flag to the Taliban. The withdrawal of combat forces from Iraq has sent a terrible signal to America's Arab friends in the region." You'll remember last week, Defense Secretary Leon Panetta. I got to spit every time I say that. It leaves a bad taste in my mouth. Panetta announced the U.S. plans to end combat missions in Afghanistan by 2013 while continuing a training and advisory role with Afghan forces, maybe through 2014. You know, unless we find out that Occupy Wall Street wants us out sooner, in which case we'll tuck tail and head home even sooner. Thank you very much, Mr. Panetta, Mr. Ho. Thank you for squandering the military capability that it took a century to accrue in 3 short years. All right, here's a shocker from WorldNet Daily. Senator Marco Rubio of Florida is a happy warrior who refuses to accept the liberal premise that government is the answer to all questions. So naturally, some Republicans have already put him on the short list for vice president. But there's a problem with Marco Rubio's eligibility. That's right. His parents were two forlorn Cubans who fled the Cuban dictatorship. Well, they fled just before it became a dictatorship. They had him here. He was born here. And then they went back and they found out that, Castro wasn't all that friendly, so they end up as exiles in Florida. But neither one of Marco Rubio's parents were citizens. Yes. WorldNet Daily says Rubio's presence on the presidential ticket would be a substantial negative for those voters who oppose Barack Obama because his apparent ineligibility to serve. For these voters, this would be a discouraging case of two wrongs definitely not making a right, just because Democrats might have gotten away with serving despite constitutional prohibitions doesn't mean Republicans should follow suit. WorldNet Daily, I'm not sure who wrote this, I flatly disagree with you. And this really exposes the shallow argument, this whole eligibility argument. Because basically from what I've seen and heard from Marco Rubio, I would support him as president of the United States. I don't care if he was born in Guatemala. I don't care if he wasn't even a citizen. Anyway, you know, this whole natural born thing, it's an arbitrary rule. It's not a moral absolute. And illegal immigration, in my opinion, is a civil violation. I don't believe it's a criminal act unless you're a criminal. You're coming here to commit a crime. Escaping a hellhole like Mexico with your children, with two bottles of water, trekking across the desert, to find some hope of freedom, to me, just does not strike me as a criminal act. Now, do we need to seal the border? Yes. Do we need to control immigration? Yes. Do we need to keep the criminals out? Yes. Do we need to end welfare so people won't come here and take advantage of the system? Yes. Do we need to execute murderers? Yes. And the whole immigration problem would be solved. But as for me, if we can take Barry Ho out politically on the whole eligibility issue, I'm all for it. And if we need to turn a blind eye to it in the case of Marco Rubio, I'm all for that too. So I guess I'm getting a little confused by all this. All right, from the Culture File, ladies and gentlemen, in England, girls as young as 13 have been fitted with contraceptive implants at school without their parents' knowledge. The procedure was carried out in England as part of a government initiative to drive down teen pregnancies. As many as 9 secondary schools are thought to have been involved. It is currently unknown exactly how many youngsters have taken part in the scheme. They call it a scheme. Yeah, they still use that word in England where it's appropriate. Parents say that they've been forced to inspect their child's arm for signs of the implant. I mean, this is like Big Brother weird.
Yeah,
kid comes home from school, you got to look and see if they implanted something? Crying out loud. Health chiefs there in England say teenage pregnancies had dropped 22% as a result. And this is the problem with bureaucrats and liberals in general. How about answering the question, okay, teen pregnancies are down 22%, but what about teenage promiscuity? And all the teachers and the health officials say, oh, well, we don't have a problem with that. Do you have a problem with that? We don't have a problem with that. And that's the problem. One mother, outraged. One mother whose 13-year-old daughter was given the implant called the scheme morally wrong. It's morally wrong to give my daughter that implant. Hey, Mom. Handing your daughter over to a government school hell-bent on defiling her is also morally wrong. So you were morally wrong in the first place, Mom, for handing your kids over, your daughter over, to a group of men hell-bent on defiling her. It's a bit of the pot calling the kettle black, I think.
But did she pull her out now?
She pulled her out of there. I don't think she pulled her out of school. I don't think you're allowed to do that in England. Oh, you're not allowed to pull your kid out of school until they've been thoroughly corrupted.
Really?
And not a minute sooner. But come back across the pond with me to Connecticut, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry, to Pennsylvania. Shippensburg, Pennsylvania. Shippensburg University is now making the morning after pill RU486 abortifacient available through a vending machine on campus. Yeah, you go to the vending machine. Each dose costs $25. University officials say they will not make any money from the sales, but they will have the opportunity to follow in the footsteps of JFK and defile more virgins. So that's the upside for the staff there at the college. By the way, just to remind you folks, this abortifacient pill that kills a living person can be legally sold over the counter in America to anyone 17 years of age or older. And listen to this. This is a reporter from CBS in Philadelphia. The reporter concludes, Plan B contains hormones which are meant to disrupt ovulation or prevent fertilization from occurring. Yeah. Which is a total lie. That's not what RU486 is about. She's leaving out the part about it preventing the implantation of a living human being called a zygote, and therefore causing the death of a developing human person. Over the counter and out of a vending machine, you can kill people in America. The last great hope for freedom and truth on the face of the planet. And that's where we are. All right. Dateline Los Angeles, from the Vancouver Sun, JCPenney has hired Ellen DeGeneres as a spokes dyke. Yeah. 1 million moms, they have a headline on their website. It says, funny that JCPenney thinks hiring an open homosexual spokesperson will help their business. When most of their customers are traditional families, 1 million moms is asking people to call JCPenney to complain. I didn't know JCPenney was still in business.
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah.
Anyway, the moms want JCPenney to replace Ellen DeGeneres as their new spokes dyke immediately and remain neutral in the culture war. That's the problem. There's no such thing as neutral when it comes to right and wrong and whether or not you allow a homosexual to be your spokesperson. You're not neutral in the culture war. You're either with us or you're against us. Do I want to read any more from the... Herndon Graddick of GLAAD. Herndon? Is that a boy or a girl? What do you think? Well, who knows? Work for GLAAD. It's a GLAAD spokesman, and he, she, it said in a written statement, "A vast majority of Americans today support Ellen, as well as their LGBT friends and family members. Selecting an outperformer who has inspired and entertained millions is not only smart business, but it's a reflection of how LGBT Americans today are an integral, valued part of the fabric of our culture." That's a spokesman for GLAAD. All right, now that, so there's another sign. Signposts on the road to hell. Yeah, that's the title of the show. I don't know. But I don't want to leave you down, ladies and gentlemen, because all is not lost. Chivalry is not dead. From the Houston Chronicle, a 16-year-old boy was attacked by a mountain lion in Big Bend National Park last Sunday night there in Texas. His father was able to fight off the cat by stabbing it with a pocket knife. Praise the Lord. Yeah, a pocket knife. And he fought off a mountain lion off his son. The child is expected to recover no life-threatening wounds. And dad has given hope to many of us that all is not lost and that there is still a remnant left able to do the right thing. Even under the most difficult circumstances, we want to thank him. Do they give his name here? Oh, they're keeping everything kind of quiet. They don't give the name. But anyway, this anonymous West Texas man, thank you very much. I will soldier on for another week. Should the Lord tarry, I'll be back with you here at the Weekly Worldview. And until then, I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com, Denver Bible Church, Personhood USA, American Right to Life, Colorado Right to Life, and TheologyOnline.com. And as always, my other brother Daryl, who makes it all happen here in the Weekly Worldview Studios. Until next week, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.